This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all worlds, the most merciful, the most compassionate. We extol His magnificence, we glorify His names and attributes, and we acknowledge His unparalleled greatness. He is the one who has granted us life. He is the one who sustains us. He has blessed us in so many ways. We ask Him to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and every single individual who wholeheartedly and sincerely embraces the prophetic teachings, the prophetic path with ikhlas, with sincerity until the end of time. I start off by reminding myself and then all of you all gathered here for Salatul Jumu'ah to adopt a life of taqwa, and that is to bring in the consciousness of your Maker, where you are aware of Him, where you acknowledge that He is aware of every action of yours, every statement of yours, every fleeting thought that crosses your mind, every glance of yours. He is aware of everything. Not a single dry leaf falls to the ground except that it is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instill this into your hearts, into your lives. Oh my dear congregation, my dear brothers and sisters, if you wish to attain victory and success in this world as well as the hereafter, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. He Azza wa Jal has blessed us with the opportunity to witness the dawn of a new Islamic year. And He has blessed us to witness the arrival of the sacred month of Muharram. Shahrullahil Muharram, the sacred month of Muharram. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to make the most out of this brand new year, to make the most out of it in terms of being productive towards this worldly life as well as the hereafter. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy, He has ordained certain passages of time to be more special than other passages of time. Certain seasons, certain months, certain days, certain nights. And this is from His blessing. This is from His boons that He keeps sending forth these seasons, these times, these passages of time, so that we may make the most out of these passages of time, so that we may seize these passages of time to renew our intentions, to strengthen our resolve, to turn over new leaves, to turn to Allah, seeking His forgiveness, to mend our ways, to attain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to draw nearer to our Creator. This month, my dear brothers and sisters, the month of Muharram, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said along the lines of these words, that after the month of Ramadan, fasting is so much emphasized during Shahrullah al-Muharram, the month of Allah, which is Al-Muharram. There's a lot of virtue, there is a lot of goodness attached to this month. This month indicates the beginning of a new year, Islamic New Year, and it is after the month of Hajj, where it is almost as if a new chapter is beginning. Allah is giving you a brand new slate, brand new opportunities to do good deeds, to mend your ways, to turn over new leaves, to get closer to Him Azza wa Jal. And during this month, there is a powerful and special day known as Ashura. Known as Ashura. Now what does Ashura mean? Ashura stems from the Arabic language Ashir or Ashir, which means the 10th.
So Ashura is the 10th of Muharram. We are a few days away from Ashura. We are a few days from the 10th of Muharram. And this day has a lot of significance. It is an extremely powerful day. The books of history mention that it was on this day, on the 10th of Muharram, that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was saved from Fir'aun, from the clutches of Fir'aun, from the oppression of Fir'aun, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and the followers of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Likewise, we read that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet Noah, his ship was caused to land on the Mount Judi on the 10th of Muharram, on Ashura. Again, another symbol of salvation, another very powerful event. So if you look through the annals of history, you see significance attached to this day during the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, during the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. So throughout the annals of history, there's so much of significance attached to this day. And for those of you who are not familiar or not aware, fasting on the 10th of Muharram was mandatory, was obligatory prior to Ramadan being made mandatory. Prior to the month of Ramadan being made mandatory for us believers to fast, fasting on the 10th was mandatory. So after Ramadan was made obligatory, the following year, the obligation to fast on the 10th of Muharram was dropped to being highly recommended. So the obligation was abrogated and the recommendation by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a high and strong recommendation, was put into place. In terms of rewards, by fasting the 10th of Ashura, one day, the minor sins of the previous year are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my reminder today, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, for this year, at the beginning of the year, the inception of the year, do not lose sight of the small things. Do not lose sight of the small things. Do not trivialize the small things. At times our focus is on the big things. It is not bad. It's good to have high aspirations, big dreams. But in the process, don't lose sight of the small deeds. Don't lose sight of the small things. Don't trivialize the small things. I want to share a story. Some of you might have heard of this scholar, Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah. Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, he passes away. And now, a student of his, a follower of his, again, another very righteous individual, a scholar perhaps in his own right, sees Imam Al-Ghazali in a dream. And Imam Al-Ghazali, he looks happy. He looks content. So he asks Imam Al-Ghazali, "Oh my teacher, oh Sheikh, oh Imam, how did you fare with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" Allahu Akbar. Is that not the pertinent question? Is that not the pertinent question? Think of it, if you are to stand in front of a Supreme Court, in front of a judge, a worldly verdict, there's a lot of importance attached to it. Here you are standing in the court of Allah, Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all worlds. So how did you fare with Allah? So Imam Al-Ghazali responds, "He forgave me and admitted me into his gardens." So now the student asks, "O Imam, O Sheikh, was it because of all your good deeds? Was it because of your discourses? Was it because of your sermons? Was it because of your lectures? Was it because of the books that you have compiled, that you have authored?" He has compiled many books. So is it because of all of that all of this, you know, a mountain of good deeds, obviously. Yeah, you're a legend. Was it because of all of that? Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he looks down and he responds, La, no. No. But on the other hand, one night I was writing. He was basically writing. And I mean, unlike today, I mean, they didn't obviously have iPads and word processors and whatnot, MacBooks and computers. It was the old-fashioned ink pot where you have to dip the quill into it and write. And obviously the ink of those days were, I would say, not made of harsh and strong chemicals like they are today. They were made of, you know, ingredients derived from plants and water, and obviously a lot less harmful. So he says, I was dipping the feather, the quill, into the ink pot and I was writing. And whilst I was writing, a fly, dhubab, a fly comes and lands on the quill as I was writing. And it started to make its way towards the moisture, towards the ink. And I paused my writing and I remained motionless because I felt this little bit of mercy towards the fly, thinking that perhaps it is thirsty, let it quench its thirst. That's it. When I stood in front of Allah, I was overwhelmed with awe. Think about it. When you are in front of an important personality, you're filled with awe. Here you are in front of Allah. Technically, that should be a believer's awe-filled moment. So he says, I was filled with awe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asks me, what about your actions? And I was filled with awe. I could not respond. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, do you remember, O my slave, on this night a fly came and landed on your quill, and there was this little mercy that you showed to that insect so that it may quench its thirst. Because of that mercy that you showed, I forgive you of all of your sins and I accept all of your good deeds. And I will admit you into my garden. Allahu Akbar. Again, hadith is recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahimahumallah. Many of you are familiar with the hadith. A prostitute whose job is, her career is prostitution. She comes across a dog panting, lolling its tongue out. What does she do? She feels sorry for the dog. She shows mercy to the dog, Allahu Akbar. By doing what? By quenching the thirst of that dog. And what does the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us? Because of that deed, she's going to be forgiven. She's inshallah going to go to Jannah. At times our focus is on lofty deeds. I'm not undermining the deeds. Strive as much as you can. But in the process, don't lose sight of the small deeds. The small deeds that are between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Between you and Allah. Ikhlas, purity, sincerity. And that perhaps may be the deed that you will see when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, all your rak'at and all your charity and all of that may be hinged onto that tiny small deed, the acceptance of that deed. Just like in the story of Imam al-Ghazali, because of the mercy that he showed to the fly, all of his deeds were accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us strive to seize these small deeds, like fasting on the 10th of Muharram. Your sins are forgiven, your minor sins are forgiven. Let us strive on that day. It is a special day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes to Medina. He sees the Jews fasting on Al-Ashura, on the 10th of Muharram. And the Prophet ﷺ asks them why. And they say, because this day is special to us with regards to Musa ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ then emphasizes, we have more rights over Moses than you do. And he instructs the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in to fast. He fasted and he went on to say, if I were to live the following year, I would fast the ninth as well. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not live to see the next year, but he indicated that if I were to live, I would fast the ninth as well, the ninth and the tenth. And this is why it is highly recommended, based on the indication by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to fast on the ninth and the tenth, or the tenth and the 11th, or the bare minimum, just the tenth. So in terms of recommendation, try to pair the tenth. Either you fast ninth and tenth. If you miss the ninth, then you fast 10th and 11th. Or if it is difficult for you to fast 2 days, then focus on just one day and fast on the 10th, because that is the most important day. Before I conclude, I also want to mention something, because people tend to have or ask this question often. It is important to note that the 10th of Muharram also coincides with a very tragic event in Islamic history. And that is the massacre of Hussein radiallahu anh, the beloved grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now obviously, whilst this tragedy is a significant and sorrowful event, it is important to understand as believers, as followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this event is not related to the sanctity of the day of Ashura itself. It is not related or connected to the sanctity of the day or the blessings of the day of Ashura. It happened by coincidence. It is a sorrowful event. It is a tragic event that is part of Islamic history. It occurred coincidentally on the 10th of Ashura. But it has nothing to do with the significance of Ashura. As you can see, it goes back to the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and even the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And we as believers, we do not look, let me repeat, we do not look at the 10th of Muharram as a day of mourning. Rather, we look at the 10th of Muharram as a day of ibadah, as a day of worship, as was instructed to us by our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for us believers, it is not a day of mourning, rather it is a day of ibadah, a day of worship through which we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as I conclude, I sincerely pray unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He helps each and every one of us to make the most out of this brand new year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to make the most out of the month of Muharram. And whilst we are engaging in these good deeds, whilst we raise our hands, we also make dua for our brethren in Palestine. We make dua for our brethren in Gaza who are suffering. We sincerely pray that Allah eases their affairs. The children there, they're saying that we pray 6 times a day. Not 5 times, 6 times a day. Salatul Fajr, Salatul Dhuhr, Salatul Asr, Salatul Maghrib, Salatul Isha, and Salatul Janazah every single day. Allahu Akbar. Salatul Janazah every single day. So we sincerely pray, because of the atrocities and oppression that they are undergoing, that Allah eases their affairs, that Allah accepts their martyrs, that Allah raises their ranks, and that Allah fills their hearts with patience. And may Allah give them lofty ranks in Jannah for everything that they are going through. And likewise, just as how He united us here in this masjid, may He unite us in the beautiful and lofty gardens of Jannah in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen. Wa akhir da'wayan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.